America fell into darkness, a call rang out across the land. Blair Adams, entertainer and entrepreneur, answered the call. He joined forces with friend, businessman, and scholar, Christopher Hart. They teamed with lifelong radio pro Nostradamus. Together, they are guardians of liberty and the American way.
Ladies and gentlemen, introducing the champions of political professional wrestling, Blair Adams, Nostradamus, and Christopher Hart. The American Adversaries, Drive Time.
Days like this that make me feel so good, too. Welcome to the show, folks. You are listening to the American Adversaries Drive Time. I am Christopher Hart. Blair Adams is on his way in. He'll be here shortly. And we are with you live this afternoon on a beautiful Friday afternoon here in Central Florida. You know the routine. 407-774-8255 is our number. And I want you to keep that phone close because I think I'm going to do a little contest today. And I'll tell you about it here in a second. We are AM 660, The Answer. And we are proud to be here for you. And thank you once again for being with us. I've got in the studio with me today. Guess what? I didn't know this until just a few minutes ago. Another football player, another from championship teams, or big teams anyway. He played at NC State, three bowls, North Carolina. I'm sorry. They're big rivals. He's giving me the evil eye right now. Okay, folks, let me go ahead and introduce this gentleman because he's going to join us for a while here tonight. We're going to tell you about a meeting that he's going to be attending for the East Orlando Tea Party coming up Tuesday that you may want to attend because it's going to be very informative. I have in the studio with me a cardiac surgeon, Dr. Tim Moore. Thanks for being with us this afternoon, Dr. Moore.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, glad we appreciate it. Thanks. And thanks for not grabbing me by the neck when I said that. I'm a big college football fan, so I know how these rivalries go. As I said, Dr. Moore, we're going to be talking about Obamacare. But let's just go ahead and I already teased you with this, so let's do it. You know, there was a couple birthdays this week. One was our great friend Hacksaw Jim Duggan. He celebrated a birthday the other day. He's in town this week, by the way, and they're putting some finishing touches on a WWE reality show that's going to be airing this spring on the WWE Network that Hacksaw is a big part of. He and Rowdy Roddy Piper shared a room in a house in Arizona, if you can believe that. So that would be real interesting to check that out. But there's someone else who's celebrating a birthday today, an iconic figure in American history, recent history. This person is, let's just say, he has found his way into all sorts of aspects of American life as a famous person. If you know who I'm talking about, his birthday is today. If you can call us up and tell us who that is, I will give you a $20 gift card to Cafe Positano. That's right. So let's get the week started. The week ended on a high note. $20 gift card to Cafe Positano. If you know who the iconic figure is I'm talking about today, whose name found its way into sports, politics, and a lot of other things, give us a call at 407-774-8255. All right, Lair's in the saddle, so we're all ready to go.
I'm here.
So let's get into it here with Dr. Moore. First of all, Dr. Moore, what's going to be happening when and where?
Well, I've been invited along with Dr. John Littell and Terry Seafelt to be part of a panel discussion at a community health care forum, and that's being sponsored by the Eastern Orlando Tea Party. That's going to be on Tuesday this coming week, January 21st, beginning at 7 o'clock, going to 8:30 at the Eastmont Civic Center, which is on 830 Magnolia Road in Altamont. And we'll be there. The three of us will be asked to give short presentations, and then we'll have a question-and-answer session after that.
Okay. And that's just Magnolia Road is right off of 436 there. It's down there by where the railroad tracks cross 436 before you get to 1792 in that area down there. There's a sports complex there, and the Civic Center meeting room is there. You can't miss it when you go to the area there. You'll see exactly where to go. They usually have a couple of signs out and everything. Dr. Moore, you along with these other physicians will be speaking about Obamacare. Now, you in particular have already been doing a lot of speaking about Obamacare. Tell us what you did and sort of where you're at now with it.
Yes, I've had a bit of background training in economics and healthcare for some time, and have been asked to go around at different venues around the state to talk in the years previous about Obamacare, the Affordable Care Act, and what we were to expect from it.
And now you're sort of going around telling, well, this is what I, you know, this is what we told you to watch out for.
Yes, we looked at all the things that were predicted about Obamacare, the things that we knew were going to happen, the mathematical certainties, and were able to tell people this is what's going to happen. And been doing that for the last couple of years, and so now basically I have an I told you so talk.
Well, sure, and you're looking at it from an economic standpoint. You have the background to do that.
And well, not only that, but you're not. This is not just your opinion. You have numbers and facts that led you to these conclusions.
Yes, the easiest way to analyze Obamacare is with the numbers provided by the government itself through the Census Bureau and other governmental websites, the White House Statistics, Bureau of Statistics, things of that sort. Bureau of Labor Statistics and the Government Accounting Office, all of those are able to provide the data that you need to be able to look at what's going on with health care.
It's amazing that all the major media outlets didn't have somebody on their staff talented enough to do the same thing. Let's go to Eva, because, first of all, she thinks she knows who the person is having them celebrating a birthday today, and she also would like to ask Dr. Moore a question. Hey, Eva, how you doing this afternoon?
Real good.
Excellent.
To answer the question, Michelle Obama is 50 and fabulous. That's all of her words.
Well, she's not the person I had in mind. She's not an iconic figure in sports and politics and a lot of other things, at least not yet. Good guess, though.
Time,
good guess. And
time.
Is today her birthday? I thought it was. It is today.
No, it's today.
Okay.
Possibly
right.
Having a party for her.
Yes, and you're supposed to eat before you come.
I think I'll do that on my next birthday party, since it's around the holidays.
There you go. Okay, your question, please, for Dr. Moore.
Yes, I personally want to thank Dr. Moore for doing what he's doing. I wish I could go to the meeting, but unfortunately, I just got out of the hospital. And you wouldn't believe this. I could add some stuff to Dr. Moore's tale, but...
His wife's in the studio, and she's laughing as you said that.
Poor use of words, my son.
Okay, anyway, go ahead.
Anyway, I just want to thank him for being the doctor that he took the oath to be, and not like a pill pusher and just somebody collecting a paycheck, like a lot of them are. And I've experienced a lot of them, and I had to have surgery because the one I had the first go-around was a pill pusher, and he caused me to have surgery because he was not following through, and they gave me shots to prevent me from having a stroke while I was in bed, and they gave it to me wrong, and it pulled my skin apart, and about 15 days later, I had to go in for surgery again.
Okay. But did you have a specific question, though, for Dr. Moore?
What he's doing, and I thank him personally.
All right. Well, thank you, Eva. We appreciate you being out
there. And you feel better, girl.
Yeah,
I feel fabulous.
You sound better than the last couple of times when you called. You were sounding a little weak.
Well, I probably was. Still sedated, and I'm getting more to normal.
Okay.
But that's what I said. I'd love to come hear him on Tuesday night, but right now I don't think I'm up to it.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you so much for your call. Dr. Moore, do you get a lot of that from people as you go around trying to educate people about this, that they appreciate that you're taking the time to do it?
Yes, people are still very, very grateful for what we're able to do for them. And I do a lot of high-risk heart surgery, and for a lot of patients, it's their last chance. And it's very gratifying when things work out well for them, and they are very happy as well.
Well, I meant that, too, but I actually, the gist of my question, and I thank you for addressing that, because you're absolutely right, people are, you know, highly appreciative. I know I had some surgery on my wrist, and I'm highly appreciative of the talent of the surgeon that did it, Dr. J. Dean Cole. But what I meant was people appreciating your efforts to educate them about Obamacare and what to watch out for.
Oh, yes. There's quite a bit of interest in this. We have fairly good audiences and attendances, and the people are usually very well educated. I've been very impressed by their knowledge. They come prepared. They have excellent questions, and they really are really interested in knowing what's going on and what's going to be happening.
Okay. Well, now, earlier you were talking about numbers. Did you notice the numbers that came out today about the true number of people that have actually paid for Obamacare? It's horrifically low, unbelievably low, and it turns out it's also a misrepresentation of what they told us.
Yeah, absolutely. We'll get into that a little bit later on in the show. First, I'd like to go to Joe. He thinks he knows the person I'm talking about whose birthday it is today. Joe, thank you for calling this afternoon.
You're welcome. Is it Al Capone?
No, it was that's a pretty good guess. This person is still alive, though. I'll give this hint out, too. It's the person's 72nd birthday today. Mm-hmm. Okay? You want to make another? Okay, Joe, you can call back if you have another guess.
I don't remember Al Capone too many sports things, but shooting, that's right. That was his forte.
All right. Dr. Tim Moore, and who are the other panelists?
There's Dr. John Littell, who's a family practitioner for Kissimmee, and Terry Seafelt, whose background is in the insurance industry.
They are going to be giving a panel discussion, which you are free to attend, and plus they'll be doing a question-and-answer session. This is a great time to get from health professionals the real truth as to what's going on here. Once again, this will be Tuesday the 21st at 7 p.m. It's the East Orlando Tea Party who is sponsoring it, and this will be in the Altamont Civic Center on Magnolia Drive over here in Altamont Springs. So you're definitely folks going to want to come out and hear these guys talk. Dr. Moore, tell us the five or six things it is that you had already predicted that have now come true.
Well, there were a lot of promises made about the Affordable Care Act in order to get it passed. These promises were made, and at the time they were provably false, and we have since shown them to be false.
At the time, they were provably false.
Yes. It was
not just speculation, but getting the numbers, you could prove these things false.
Yes.
Okay.
For instance, we were told that Obamacare would reduce the deficit, and before it even rolled out, the Congressional Budget Office showed that the cost had already doubled. And we were told that Medicare would be protected, and subsequently we found out also from the Congressional Budget Office that Obamacare is actually going to siphon $716 billion out of Medicare to help pay for Obamacare. Certainly, we've all seen the tragedy in the last month or so of people who were told that they could keep their insurance who can't, and people who could keep their doctor who won't. We were told that the insurance would be more affordable, but it was known at that time there was no way to provide more insurance to more people and make it more affordable all at the same time. And we were also promised that there would be no new taxes, and in fact there are quite a few new taxes, and of course the individual mandate was declared by the Supreme Court to be a tax.
And these are things that you were going around saying, these are all falsehoods, these cannot be true.
Yes, we.
And now you've been proven to be right. It's not like you're calling these things as they're happening. You predicted this ahead of time based on numbers you got from the government.
Well, I hate to take the credit. I didn't predict these, but it was well known at the time. And as a matter of fact, for instance, with the insurance premiums, individual states had done numerous studies, you know, to look at what was going to happen to the cost of insurance. And there were predictions that each state made based on their numbers, and those are all, you know, coming true.
All right. Something else is going to come true, folks, is that we're going to be right back after this short break. We've got a couple of more callers on the line who think they know whose birthday it is today, whose 72nd birthday it is today. So you're going to want to stick around for that. If they're a winner, they're going to get a $20 gift card to Cafe Positano, the finest Italian restaurant in all Central Florida.
Of course. We were just there Wednesday night. It was fantastic. Food, as always. And don't miss out. Be sure to show up over there next Wednesday. We'll see you there. American Adversaries are coming back.
Thursday next week. All right. Thursday.
The American Adversaries, where you and the president can wrestle for the truth.
We're still in this wrestling match with
Blair Adams
and
Christopher Hart, the American Adversaries.
All right, welcome back, folks, and thank God it's Friday, right? It's going to be a cold Saturday, but it should be a nice weekend, and don't forget, we'll be here Sunday night at 5 o'clock, live. All right, I am Christopher Hart, along with Lair Adams. It is the American Adversaries Drive Time on AM 660, The Answer, and we've got a couple of folks on the line who think they know what the answer is to my little impromptu trivia quiz of whose birthday it is today, whose 72nd birthday. So let's go in the order they came in. So, Terry, you're next. Who do you think it is?
Well, I'm probably wrong, but I think maybe Johnny Unitas.
Oh, it's Sherry. Hey, Sherry.
Yeah.
No, it's not Johnny Unitas.
Okay, well, they were talking about on the news this morning, and but I don't remember what they were talking about him about.
Okay, well, this person also was, I can't say was in politics, but politics revolved around this person, if you will. Okay.
More questions?
Yes, go ahead. Please do.
Do you take Medicare patients?
Yes, we still are able to do Medicare patients.
He says yes. Yes.
Are you in Orlando?
I actually practice in Leesburg.
Oh, okay, good.
Can you tell her how to get a hold of you?
Sure. I work with at Leesburg Regional Medical Center, and there's three of us up there that are partners. We do heart surgery up there, and our office number is 352-787-9838.
9838.
Uh-huh. And yes, we do take Medicare patients and have always done so, and hopefully we'll also always be able to do so in the future.
Well, aren't heart patients normally older?
Yes. It all depends on your perspective and what you think is old at this point.
You know what I'm talking about.
Right. No, our average patients are in the 70s, actually.
And I got to tell you something, Doctor. We know Sherry, and she has more heart than just about anyone.
Thank you, Sherry. Appreciate your call.
Guys.
Thank you for the question.
Nice talking to you, Dr. Moore.
Thank you.
All right. If you come to the meeting Tuesday night, you'll get a chance to meet him. Okay, let's go now to Joe, who thinks he knows whose birthday is today.
Oh, man. I hope it's Muhammad Ali.
It is Muhammad Ali. You're all right.
That was my first guess, but Al Capone... I thought when I saw his name, I knew he was in. He changed politics he was around during
Prohibition.
Know, the,
in an indirect sort of way, I guess you should. They both had an influence on politics.
Yeah, Muhammad Ali.
It was Muhammad Ali. You are absolutely right. You'll get a $20 gift card to Cafe Positano.
I love that place.
All right, thank you very much for calling. Any question while we have you on the line for Dr. Moore?
Could you guys extend your program a couple more hours each weekday?
Boy, you're reading my mind every afternoon. Thank you, Joe.
We love Joe. Thank you.
Thank you so very, very much. Hang on so we can get that information from you. It is Muhammad Ali's birthday today, and I'm going to talk a little bit about him on Sunday night because PBS did an excellent show, I must say, called 1964, about that year in American history.
A lot
of interesting things happened that year. You know, that was the year Muhammad Ali fought Sonny Liston first time to win the heavyweight bout. Anyway,
I saw that pretty much live.
Let's get back to Dr. Moore.
Yeah, now, Doctor, I've got to play the devil's advocate here because there are people that are going to say from your predictions that you're not giving it a chance. You're just one of those people rushing ahead, counting on everything to go wrong, and if you just sit back and let it. I hear this all the time and it drives me crazy, but seriously, that's what they think.
Dr. Moore,
what can you tell these people to say, hey, look, you know, it's right in front of your face, it's you're living in a fantasy?
Well, you know, we've certainly seen the plan unravel at the very start with its rollout, and I think that as with all technical things, those issues will be solved. I wouldn't necessarily condemn Obamacare, the Affordable Care Act, based on the way it got rolled out from an electronic technical standpoint.
But that's the least of its problems.
That stuff will eventually, ultimately, you know, be fixed.
Right.
What's going to happen, though, is that the unraveling is going to happen over the next couple of years as the full impact of the economic policies are felt and the hospitals and physicians struggle to make it all work with falling reimbursements, and the insurance companies struggle to make do with declining enrollment of young, healthy people and increased enrollment of older people.
Can you tell us, now you've told us what has already come true. You've also got a list here of things that are getting ready to happen. A couple of them we've talked about on the show, but a number of them we have not.
Well, I think in the immediate future what you're going to see is more patients on Medicaid. And the government is actually rather proud of that to some extent. They're actually
bragging,
touting you know, the increased number of Medicaid patients.
Yeah, like they brag about the number of people on food stamps increasing. Isn't that a wonderful thing?
Correct. And if when you look at Medicare as a whole, not just specific diseases that are covered by Medicare, but Medicare as a whole pays the hospitals about 90% of what it actually costs to take care of a Medicare patient. So the hospitals across the board are losing money on Medicare. Medicaid in the state of Florida pays about 70% of what Medicare pays. So it's a tremendous financial burden on the hospitals. And increasing the number of Medicaid patients without providing all of the additional monies that are necessary and all the additional physicians that would be needed to care for them is a problem. The government has promised that states that expand Medicaid will get increased funds, but the states that do not do that will not be getting that. That's in the immediate future as the patients are enrolling right now. What you're going to also see in the next year or so is that these life-saving procedures that hospitals perform where they may be losing money are going to be dropped. They're just not going to be able to financially provide that service at that hospital.
All right, let's focus on that a minute.
Mm-hmm.
Life-saving procedures are going to be dropped. So that means people are going to die because of the change in the law.
It means that it'll either have to go somewhere else and travel outside to some other place that may be able to provide it, or they simply will not be able to get it.
All right.
And we're going to see that. And also,
all right, hold it right there, doctor. We have to take a break. This is a hard break. We can't avoid it. Folks, stay with us. We've got a lot more to talk about. Dr. Moore is going to stay with us. Tom Tillison is going to join us. And you can join us as well, 407-774-8255.
Happy Friday, everyone. Enjoy your drive home. Just be very, very careful. The weekend is coming up. You've had a nice, hard week. You're ready for some relaxation. Don't forget, Sunday night, we're here at 5-2.
Warm, cold.
Here is tonight's American Adversary SoundbiteRx.com News Minute. SoundbiteRx.com, a great way to be better informed. Tonight's SoundbiteRx.com News Minute is being brought to you by Lake Mary Jewelers. For that special gift, for that special someone, go to Lake Mary Jewelers at the intersection of Lake Mary Boulevard and Lake Emma Road. Call them today, 407-878-6230. Now, here's Christopher Hart with Ted Bogert of SoundbiteRx.com.
Ted, in an all-too-rare move this week, two prominent Republican senators stood up on the floor of the Senate and dressed down a major media outlet over their coverage of the Benghazi scandal. And SoundbiteRx.com has the story.
That's right, Chris. This is a great story. So on Thursday, South Carolina Senator Graham issued a really scathing rebuke of the New York Times and an article they published about the attack on Benghazi. And, of course, Senator Graham doesn't mince words, and he said to them, journalism has died at the New York Times, which we kind of already knew to begin with. But basically, this contested article was the culmination of months of investigation, and the New York Times actually concluded that there was no evidence that Al-Qaeda or any other international terrorist group had any role in the assault. I'm laughing because I just can't believe they printed this. And that the attack was instead led by fighters, blah, 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 basically blaming it on everybody but Al-Qaeda. And as Grant said, and he blasted them, do they really believe, does anybody really believe this wasn't a pre-planned terrorist attack with Al-Qaeda affiliates in charge? It's just stupid journalism, not really even journalism at all, and they got called out on it.
John McCain also stood up and had some choice words. You know, one nice thing about election years is that meek Republicans finally find occasion to stand up and express the outrage that we all feel about things like Benghazi.
Exactly. And that is exactly what's going on election year. It's time, though, Chris. This Benghazi thing has been going on for how long? And we still are pushing it under the rug. We're having leftist kind of reports coming out from places like the New York Times and even other organizations when the entire world is laughing at us and the entire world knows Al-Qaeda was involved. So for anybody to stand up or write an article that says they've done months of investigation is just absolute fraud.
Okay, thanks, Ted. Remember, folks, take that cure for liberal poison at soundbiterx.com. It's good medicine. We'll be right back.
More political mayhem is on the way. You're listening to The American Adversaries, if you can take it.
All right, welcome back to the show, folks. I am Christopher Hart, and along with Lair Adams, we are the American Adversaries. It is drive time on AM 660, The Answer. Thank you for being with us tonight. And I want to thank Dr. Tim Moore, cardiac surgeon, for being with us tonight. And he is going to be speaking Tuesday, the 21st, that's this coming Tuesday, at 7 o'clock at the Altamont Civic Center on Magnolia over here in Altamont Springs. He'll be on a panel. They'll be doing a panel discussion. He, along with Dr. John Littell, family practice, and Terry Seafelt, who's an insurance professional. They'll be doing a little presentation, and then there'll be a question-answer session afterwards. This will be a great way to educate yourself even more about Obamacare and the ins and outs and what you really need to know to look out for yourself going forward. Now, we're talking with Dr. Moore about what's to come next. We already know... millions of people have been canceled, received cancellations. We know that the cost of this program and the things that were promised have not come to true. There are many new taxes in this, but there are other things to look out for as the act goes forward and more of it is implemented. One of those things is life-saving care. Some of those practices will be discontinued in hospitals because it will be simply unaffordable to do it. Is that, in essence, what you said?
Yes, I think we'll see things of that sort happen in the near future.
This is separate from, I believe, what you're saying is separate from what Sarah Palin termed death panels, because this is a situation where the procedures just won't even be offered to begin with. Is that it?
Well, the rationing is actually being done financially. In other words, you're not going to have the government specifically spell out that this person is too old to have this procedure. The way that that's going to be accomplished is financially. The reimbursement and payment to the hospital for these procedures will be cut so drastically that the hospital cannot afford to lose money doing them.
Okay. Now, we have Al on the line, and he's going to make a counter-argument that I've heard, so I'll let him make it and let you respond to it. Al, thank you for calling, and your counter-argument to what the doctor has been saying.
Well, I have 2 points, but my first point, it doesn't really pertain to what the doctor is saying. I just have a question I'm curious about. As far as the system they have in Canada, it's a known fact that no one has died because of lack of insurance. Where here in the United States, the numbers between 8,000 to 30,000 have died every year because of lack of insurance. And what does the doctor think about that? And secondly, if it's costing so much to do these treatments, why aren't the hospitals suffering right now? What's stopping them from going bankrupt because of these treatments right now?
Okay.
They
and
are.
I'd like the doctor to respond. Thank you, Al.
Well, it was, to answer the second question first, the hospitals are suffering financially. They are already tightening their belts, and there have been large numbers of layoffs in hospitals across the country.
And you can look at the hospital downtown to prove that, Orlando Regional down there.
Right. Florida South is in trouble.
Yeah. Anyway, go ahead.
So just because the hospital is not bankrupt does not mean that they're not financially struggling. They're trying to figure out how to deal with this, and they are laying off people, and I think they will be very soon dropping services that they simply cannot afford to provide. In terms of the access to health insurance in Canada, it's important to understand that access to health insurance is not the same thing as access to health care.
Right.
Access to a waiting list is not the same thing as access to healthcare. So you can certainly be insured and have health insurance and die because you did not get health care. And that's what we're seeing in the single-payer systems where people may technically be insured with a single-payer system, but they're put on a long waiting list and they're not getting the health care that they need.
Yeah. All right. I hope that answered your questions, Al. I'm glad he asked those because, you know, I hear that in response, but it's just so uninformed. You know, they don't know the whole story.
But almost any of the poor here in this country have for a long time been able to go right to the emergency room and get good, great health care.
Absolutely. Let's go. I can testify to that.
Yes.
My own personal experience. I broke my wrists. Went in the hospital, did not have health care insurance at that time, and I was given a room. I was given the finest surgeon, and they claimed all the world, and I swear by him. I mean, if you'd have seen my wrists, you would never mind. I don't want to even go into that because there might be people out there eating, but they had no way of knowing that I could pay 1 cent toward my health care, and I got treated royally. I was in a room with one other man, and he was in the bed next to me, and he was in there on workman's comp. And the worst part of my hospital stay was watching what he was going through to get his health care. And they catered to me. By the way, I paid the bill at half price, by the way, because I paid cash. The hospital knocked off 50% right off the top, and the surgeon 40% off something that I thought was already a very reasonable rate. Speaking of people, however, who do know what's going on, that would be, of course, Tom Tillison, our man with BizPackReview.com.
And he comes to us at a reasonable rate.
I'll say, can't get more reasonable than that, huh, Tom?
No, free just about beats everything.
It sure enough does. Listen, you've been following the conversation. Your comments or questions for Dr. Moore.
Well, the one thing as I listen to him speak, it's encouraging to hear a doctor speak out. You know, he's somebody that's living the effects of this law every day. The biggest question, I'm very curious why we are not hearing more from doctors. Why are doctors not, you know, making people aware of you know, as I listen to him speak, you know, the differences between, you know, the doctor and people like you and I, Chris. He is very apolitical. He is not approaching this from there's no politics involved. He's speaking specifically as to the impact of this law. And he is qualified to do so because he is a doctor. And why are we not seeing more doctors speaking up and making people aware of the disaster that awaits us?
Yeah, he's right. You guys have all the credibility on this issue.
Well, I think that, you know, certainly most physicians have not had the opportunity to spend time studying these things from an economic and policy standpoint. Most physicians are trained very narrowly in their specific field of study and are able to provide outstanding health care, but don't have the breadth of knowledge sometimes to be able to command these issues and speak to them. Most physicians, if you talk to them, will anecdotally tell you their own personal horror stories dealing with insurance companies and dealing with government regulations and with Medicare. But it's hard to get out there and really preach the message in a coherent fashion that people can understand.
It's very similar to the scientists that are arguing against global warming. I mean, they're so torn apart because they're not going along with the norm, and here you guys are expected to just, we're all part of this, hey, we love Obamacare thing, and they don't want the hassle.
Right. If I could, I'd like to just mention a couple more of the things that people can be looking for in the next year or so.
Please do.
As we talked about, we're going to see that the Medicare services are probably going to be cut. The taxpayers are going to end up having to bail out the insurance companies. We're already starting to see what they call adverse selection, which means that the young, healthy people are not signing up in the numbers that they need to help pay for the old sick people.
Can we stop right there for a second? Because, Tom, I think you have some numbers that back that up, don't you?
Well, it was just a report that Megyn Kelly actually touched on this last night on Fox News, just talking about the Obama administration, you know, touting their numbers, saying that 6 million people had signed up. And of those 6 million, they counted 4 million Medicaid patients. But as it turns out, that the real number was only 380,000 because they were counting, you know, automatic renewals in Medicaid, which had nothing to do with Obamacare.
Doctor?
Yes, he's exactly right.
And so this compounds the problem.
Yes.
And it's going to lead to the bailout.
Yes. As we were talking about earlier, more people in Medicaid is not necessarily the answer. We've seen studies that have shown just in the last week or so that having people on Medicaid actually increases their visits to the emergency room and increases the health care cost of the system. But as the insurance companies struggle with this, built into the Affordable Care Act are provisions for reinsurance, which again is backed up by taxpayers,
right?
And then what they call risk corridors,
yep,
which is a mechanism for bailing out the insurance companies when they their losses exceed certain limits.
Yeah, we've talked about that. A couple of the other things there that are yet to come.
Well, I think also you're going to see, as we get closer to 2015, when the employer mandate kicks in, that's really going to cause a huge, huge upheaval. Most of the insurance problems that we've been hearing about now are people that are buying individual policies, which is a much, much smaller portion of the market than people who get their health care through their employer. The vast majority of people do get their health insurance through their jobs. And when the employer mandate kicks in, we're going to see towards the end of this year, when enrollments start for 2015, that employers are going to probably be dropping insurance policies in huge numbers. If they're a small company, less than 50 employees, they are under no penalty at all. But even if they are over 50 employees, they may decide that it's just cheaper to pay the $2,000 fine per person than it is to provide them with health insurance.
Especially the way the costs are going now. I believe you guys at BizPAC Review did some work on this too, didn't you, Tom?
Well, again, you know, it's the biggest challenge in all of this is the numbers. You know, you can't trust anything that the Obama administration is putting out. But we talk about the impact of once the employer mandate goes into effect. There's a reason why they postponed this beyond the next election. You know, but the doctor's right, and you know, by the time people fully understand the real impact of this law, I fear we're going to be so far into it that it's going to be almost impossible, you know, to back out at that point.
Okay. All right. We've got to go to the next break, and when we come back, we'll continue this conversation with Dr. Tim Moore, cardiac surgeon, who will be speaking along with Dr. John Littell and insurance professional Terry Seafelt this Tuesday, the 21st, at 7 o'clock in Altamont Springs here at the Altamont Civic Center on Magnolia Drive. It's free. Come on down. Hear what they have to say. There'll be a question and answer session. This is a great way to get yourself better educated about this issue.
Gosh, it's really interesting. We have this health care law, and then after this law goes into effect, employers don't have to follow the same rules as individuals do. How does that work? Oh, well, we'll find out later. Folks, we are the American Adversaries. Don't go away.
For 16 years, Cafe Positano has been famous for blending their traditional Italian family recipes with the latest cuisines. They offer affordable fine dining in the banquet room and more casual dining in the main area. From pizza to specialty dishes and tender, juicy prime rib, everything is made fresh daily, even our sauces. And owner Pasquale Barba promises you'll want to return. Located 4 miles west on I-4 on 436, phone 407-774-8080.
Cafe Positano is true Italian food, e lo prometto.
Hi, this is Christopher Hart, co-host of the American Adversaries. You know, during the day, I'm a contractor here in Central Florida. That's what I do for work. But what I do on the radio, well, the American Adversaries is my mission. We've got a great audience, and I wanted to take a minute to speak directly to those of you who believe in our mission. We are looking for a select group of category-exclusive sponsors to support this show. There are several different levels of sponsorships, so it can be very affordable, and you'll get great results just like our friend Pasquale from Cafe Positano's. Heck, we'll even name our studio after your business if you want. If you own or run a business in Central Florida and believe in the American Adversaries' mission, give me a call to see if you qualify. If you're interested in learning more, my number is 407-435-4613. If I'm on the air when you call, just leave your name and number. I'm Christopher Hart. American Adversaries is my mission. I hope you'll make it part of yours, too.
Here comes Johnny B. Bear. downstairs, and you should too. Don't let me come and get you, because I'll kick your booty with my tootie fruity.
And we still don't know what the tootie fruity he's talking about is.
We have a physician right here,
that's
Dr.
Right.
Moore. Can
that's
you
right.
tell us what is a tootie fruity?
Is that a too technical a term to get into?
I would have to tell you that having practiced surgery for 20 years, and even in my training, I never actually removed one of those.
Well, we're sure that Johnny B. Badd has one. But anyway, we are the American Adversaries. Welcome back, everyone. We've got Chris here with the doctor. And
once again, you can hear the doctor speak. You can meet him. And question and answer session, this will be Tuesday. And Altamont Springs at the Civic Center, 7 o'clock this Tuesday. And it is free. Come on out. It's being sponsored by the East Orlando Tea Party. And it's going to be a great meeting. And they usually have some great cookies and stuff there, too, by the way. All right. Let's go now to Willie. By the way, if you want to call, if you have any questions, call now because this is the last segment, 407-774-8255. Willie, thank you for calling. And your question for Dr. Moore, please.
Well, I appreciate the answer. And not really a question, but a comment on the risk corridors and the reinsurance as part of the Affordable Care Act.
Yep.
I think we're giving these people who created this monstrosity too much credit because the end game is a single payer, supposedly. And to do that, you have to get rid of the insurance companies. But since they're being taxpayer funded, we'll never get rid of the insurance companies because we're going to go ahead and bail them out to the tune of $1 trillion over 10 years right now. The whole thing's a mishmash of CRAP. It doesn't make any sense to me. So the people who wrote this and the people who voted for it will still have private insurance, whether it's paid for by the taxpayers or whatever mechanism is in there. Yeah. The whole thing's either the entire thing's a slow death or the private insurers end up being around post-death of the Affordable Care Act.
All right. Thank you, Willie. Appreciate you pointing that out. Doctor? I think that what he's talking about is something that you were mentioning during the break in a way, that what we're seeing with this quote-unquote health care law is more simply a huge transfer of power in our government from the legislative branch into the executive branch, where they're making it up as they go along, basically, because the law doesn't really specify what the law provides for. It specifies that certain departments will decide what will be provided for. And yeah. So you end up with this, as he calls it, a mishmash.
Yes, I think you hit the scariest and most frightening nail on the head there, which is that we have turned over the powers of our legislative branch, the people that are accountable to us through elections, to the executive branch. The law itself, in its 2,000 pages, I think around close to 3,000 times, states the secretary shall, which means that the Secretary of Health and Human Services will be making a decision. And as somebody has already remarked, that basically at this point, President Obama is legislating by press conference. He basically is issuing new determinations about we're going to delay this, we're going to delay that, we're going to allow this to happen to help support people who are losing their policies. More frighteningly than that, the IRS, which has already been involved in quite a few abuses, is now going to be in charge of these rulings on how this law is going to be applied. And we've already seen where the IRS has ruled that insurance that is provided by an employer doesn't have to cover the whole family now. It only has to cover the employee, and that's an IRS ruling. Mm-hmm. And we've seen other things of that sort. And the ultimate thing that I think is going to be quite frightening is the Independent Payment Advisory Board, IPAB. Everybody's heard of iPads. Well, this is IPAB. That's how you can remember it. And that is a panel that is going to do nothing but cut costs. That's their role. That's their purpose, is to cut costs from the healthcare system. That used to be a function that was carried out by our elected officials in the legislature. But now this is going to be done by a presidentially appointed panel from the executive branch that is going to be charged with cutting costs in the healthcare system, and their proposals issued by this panel will be enacted as law.
Yeah. Tom, this really is the scariest part about this thing, is it does take power from the legislature and put it in the hands of faceless bureaucracies, and we end up with what he's talking about. I believe the IPAB is what Sarah Palin called the death panel, Tom.
Yeah, those are the death panels, and you know, the more we get into this, the more we see that, you know, Sarah Palin was not really, you know, that far off base in the comments that she made. The unfortunate thing about this, much like Nancy Pelosi has said, we have to pass the law to find out what's in it. Well, we have to also see the law implemented to fully understand the real effects of the law.
Yeah, I'll say. Doctor, this whole thing obviously is disastrous as it's rolling out, and the farther we get into it, the more of a disaster it is. Do you see any solutions?
Well,
I have to ask that with just a couple of minutes left, so I kind of put you on the spot, but real quickly.
Well, I think that the Affordable Care Act, Obamacare it is known, is ultimately going to fail. I think it was designed to fail. I think that the surprise for the people that enacted it was that it was going to fail so quickly. And I think that as it fails, it's going to depend a great deal on who is in office at the time of its failure. If we have the liberals and progressives in office when this thing breaks down, then we're going to go to single payer. If we have conservatives in office when this thing fails, then I think there's a chance for repeal or at least dismantling huge portions of it.
And having something much better.
I think that, in my opinion, the ultimate best solution is to hand over the control of people's health care to the patients themselves, to allow them to make the decision rather than the government.
All right. In other words, Republicans have to take the Senate.
And the White House. Tom, final question. We're just about out of time.
Well, I don't know if we have time for this, but I thought if he had a family member, son or daughter, about to go to college, would the doctor recommend them pursue medical school with everything that he knows?
That's interesting because we were kind of talking about that. Thank you, Tom.
I think that in years gone by, almost every physician you ever asked would tell you that they were glad they went into medicine, but they wouldn't have, you know, over the years we've seen where people would not recommend their own family members went in and did that.
Yeah.
It's a very, very trying time for physicians, and it's going to be a lot tougher before it ever gets better, if it does.
And that has a bearing on, I hate to say it, but the quality of the physicians coming out of medical school too, doesn't it?
I think so. We're seeing large numbers of people that are finishing medical school that are having to go back and do remedial training. That's very sad. We have not seen that in this country before. And we're having trouble convincing people to go into the profession. In my own particular discipline, which is heart surgery, we haven't been able to fill our residency slots for probably close to 15 years now.
Wow. And that's just going to get worse.
Yes. With an increasingly older population that needs those kinds of services.
Yeah.
Well, plus a country that doesn't push, that we want our people to be the best and strive.
Or we used to.
Yeah.
We'll get back to that. All right. Thank you, Tom Tillison. I appreciate you participating in tonight's show and all your callers as well. We appreciate you being out there. And Dr. Moore and your wife, Carol, thank you for coming down to the studio. And we look forward to seeing you. This will be Tuesday. Once again, folks, Tuesday, the 21st. That's the Tuesday coming up. 7 o'clock, Altamont Civic Center. It's right over there on Magnolia. It's just south of and right off of 436, right down there where the railroad tracks are, between the tracks and 1792. You know the place. There's a sports complex there, the Civic Center building. You can't miss it. 7 o'clock. If you can't make it at 7, come a little bit late. Just try to come because you guys are going to be there for a couple hours, I'm sure. They're going to give a presentation. Then there'll be a question and answer session. They're going to cover the stuff that we've talked about tonight, and I'm sure a lot more. So the program begins at 7, ends about 8:30. The doors open at 6:30, so you're definitely going to want to be there. That's Tuesday, and it's being sponsored by the East Orlando Tea Party, all the great gals over there and great guys, I should say, and that's Kathy and Cindy and all of them. They really do a great job, and they put together some fabulous meetings with some fabulous guests, obviously. Dr. Moore, thanks again for being here with us tonight. It's been a great pleasure, and we look forward to having you back.
Thank you for a wonderful afternoon.
Yeah, all right. We appreciate it.
It was also great having Tom Tillison with us, too, as usual.
Yep. And don't forget, folks, please, if you have a chance this weekend, you maybe going to looking for something to do or going to go out anyways, check out the movie Lone Survivor. Go and see it. Let's make it another big box office weekend for that movie. It's a great movie. It's about Marcus Luttrell and his four-man SEAL team who got pinned down in Afghanistan and the heroics that they really carried out as that mission deteriorated around them.
Have you seen it yet, Chris?
Going to go this weekend.
I'm going to try to make it this weekend, too, guy.
Yep. So that's Lone Survivor. Don't forget Carl Jackson tomorrow morning live right here, 8 to 9 a.m., Marshall Polston. And I'm going to be on Marshall's show tomorrow at 2 o'clock.
Awesome.
So, and that's right here on AM 660, The Answer. Adrian Wiley, the Libertarian
that's
candidate for governor.
Thursday, we have our great friend, Colonel Danny McKnight.
Can't miss us.